All right, deep divers, buckle up. Today we are going deep on OKRs.
OKRs.
Yeah, objectives and key results. Now, whether you are an OKR aficionado or just curious about this goal-setting system, this deep dive is for you. We have got John Doerr's Measure What Matters, plus some fascinating case studies.
Sounds good.
Our mission is to cut through the hype and see how OKRs can work for you.
It's interesting how OKRs have evolved from this niche strategy at Intel to a system embraced by Google, the Gates Foundation, and countless others. There's got to be more to it than just a passing fad, wouldn't you say?
Totally. So let's break it down. John Doerr defines OKRs simply as I will objective as measured by key results.
Okay.
But how do they differ from traditional goal setting?
That's where the magic happens. Unlike top-down approaches like management by objectives, OKRs are all about collaboration. Teams work together to define objectives that link directly to the overall company strategy. It's like everyone rowing in the same direction, which is crucial in today's fast-paced world.
So OKRs are more aligned with agile methodologies where constant adaptation is key.
Exactly. That flexibility and regular check-ins are what make OKRs so effective. Think of it as a compass that helps you navigate through ever-changing landscapes.
I am starting to see the appeal, but let's get specific. What are some common pitfalls when setting OKRs?
One major mistake is confusing actions with outcomes. If your objective is reduce data errors, a key result like install software version 10 doesn't cut it. Installing software is an action, not a measurable outcome.
So a better key result would focus on quantifiable improvements in data accuracy.
Precisely. You could track the number of data quality errors or orders blocked due to faulty data. Google, for instance, recommends aiming for about 3 key results per objective to maintain focus.
Interesting. And what about this emphasis on quarterly OKRs? What makes that time frame so effective?
Think about it. You have a big, ambitious goal for the year. Breaking it down into quarterly OKRs makes it less daunting. You create these manageable chunks that are easier to grasp, act upon, and track. It's like climbing a mountain. You focus on reaching the next base camp, not just fixating on the distant summit.
That makes a lot of sense, especially for anyone feeling overwhelmed by a large-scale goal. But there's also a connection between OKRs and employee engagement, right? And I read that employee turnover costs U.S. businesses a whopping $1 trillion annually.
Wow.
That's a staggering figure.
It is. And it highlights the need for creating a work environment where employees feel valued and motivated. That's where OKRs can make a real difference.
So how do OKRs actually contribute to employee engagement? Is it just a buzzword, or is there substance to this claim?
There's real substance here. When implemented correctly, OKRs provide transparency and purpose. Employees can see how their individual efforts contribute to team goals and the company's overall success. It's about fostering a sense of belonging and making employees want to stay, not just tolerate their jobs.
That's powerful. Now, do we have any real-world examples of OKRs in action? I think it would help to see the theory put into practice.
Absolutely. One company aiming to dominate the UK market saw their HR team set a parallel OKR to build a world-class talent operations function. Notice how the team's objective directly supports the company's broader goal.
It's like a chain reaction. Each team's OKRs contributing to a larger strategic vision. And even if our listeners aren't specifically in HR or launching in the UK, these principles are universal, right?
Without a doubt. Whether you are a marketer, a software developer, or an entrepreneur, the core concepts of setting clear objectives and defining measurable key results can be applied across the board.
Okay, so we have got a good grasp of what OKRs are and why they matter. But how do we actually go about setting effective OKRs for ourselves or our teams? That's where things get really interesting, and we'll delve into that right after
A quick break.
Quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back, Deep Divers. Before the break, we talked about how OKRs can be applied in various fields. Now let's shift gears and explore how to effectively set these OKRs. I found Leapsum's 7-step guide quite insightful. They're an all-in-one people enablement platform, and their approach resonated with me.
Leapsum, yes, they have a solid reputation in the HR tech space. What are some of the key takeaways from their guide?
Well, they kick things off by emphasizing simplicity. They recommend setting no more than 3 to 5 objectives per quarter.
That's a good point. Too many objectives can create a sense of overwhelm and dilute focus, defeating the purpose of OKRs.
Exactly. And speaking of focus, their second step is all about specificity and using numbers. No vague goals allowed. Measurable key results are crucial here.
Absolutely. If you can't measure it, you can't track it, and ultimately you can't manage it. It's about creating clarity and accountability.
I like how they put it, don't fear the numbers. Now, their third step is where things get really interesting. They urge us to aim high. Challenging ourselves and our teams is central to the OKR philosophy.
That's a key principle. OKRs are not about playing it safe. They're about pushing boundaries and setting ambitious goals that stretch our capabilities. If we're consistently hitting 100% of our targets, perhaps we're not aiming high enough.
Right. We might be limiting our potential. And it's not just about individual ambition. Leapsim also emphasizes the importance of teamwork in their fourth step. OKRs are a collaborative endeavor, not a solo mission.
Collaboration is crucial here. It's about fostering a sense of shared responsibility and working together towards a common goal. This raises an important question. How do we ensure everyone feels heard and aligned throughout the OKR process?
That's a great question, and it leads us to their fifth step, communication. Leapsim highlights the need for open communication, active listening, and creating a culture of feedback.
Those regular check-ins we discussed earlier play a crucial role here. It's not just about reporting progress. It's about engaging in open dialogues, addressing challenges, and making adjustments as needed.
Absolutely. And we can't forget to celebrate wins, even the small ones. Leapsim reminds us of this in their sixth step. Tracking progress and acknowledging achievements, both big and small, helps maintain morale and momentum.
What's fascinating here is how celebrating successes ties back to employee engagement. Recognizing contributions, fostering a sense of accomplishment, and reinforcing that positive feedback loop are all crucial aspects of a thriving work environment.
It's about creating a culture where people feel valued and appreciated for their efforts. Okay, so we've set ambitious goals, communicated effectively, tracked progress, and celebrated wins. What's next?
Well, plans don't always unfold perfectly. That's why Leapsim's final step is so important. Don't be afraid to readjust. They emphasize the need for flexibility and adapting to changing circumstances.
That's a valuable reminder. It's about embracing an agile mindset, learning from experience, and not getting discouraged when course correction is needed.
Exactly. It's about viewing those adjustments not as failures, but as opportunities for growth and learning.
To recap, setting effective OKRs involves keeping it simple, being specific, aiming high, working as a team, communicating openly, celebrating wins, and being adaptable along the way.
That's a great summary. These are guiding principles, not rigid rules. It's about finding what works best for your specific team and context. Don't hesitate to experiment and adapt these principles to fit your unique needs.
I like that, a tailored approach. So we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. What OKRs are, how they differ from traditional goal setting, their link to employee engagement, real-world examples, and a practical framework for setting them effectively.
It's been a comprehensive exploration. Now, how do we bring this all together for our listener?
Excellent point. Let's shift our focus to the individual and explore how OKRs can be applied on a personal level. After all, OKRs aren't just for companies. They can be incredibly powerful for personal growth and development as well. We have been talking about OKRs in companies, but before we wrap up, I would love to hear your thoughts on how we can apply this framework to our personal goals.
That's a great transition, and it's something I'm quite passionate about. OKRs are not just for corporations. They can be incredibly powerful for personal growth and development. It's about taking that same strategic thinking and applying it to our own lives.
So how would you suggest our listeners approach setting personal OKRs? Where do they even begin?
Start by thinking about what truly matters to you. What are your aspirations? What do you want to achieve in the next quarter or year? It could be related to your health, relationships, skills, hobbies, anything that resonates with you. Once you have that overarching objective, break it down into those measurable key results.
So, for example, if someone's objective is to run a marathon, their key results might include things like a weekly training schedule, a certain mileage target, or even cross-training activities.
Exactly. It's about creating a roadmap with clear milestones that mark your progress. And don't be afraid to set ambitious goals. The beauty of OKRs is that they encourage us to push our boundaries and strive for something meaningful.
It's like that saying, a goal without a plan is just a wish. OKRs provide that structure and accountability to turn those wishes into reality.
Precisely. And just like with company OKRs, regular check-ins and adjustments are crucial for personal growth.
Right.
Life throws curveballs, and we need to be able to adapt and refine our approach as we go.
That flexibility is key. And let's not forget the importance of celebrating those wins along the way. Whether it's hitting a personal best in your training or mastering a new skill, acknowledging those achievements keeps us motivated and reinforces positive behavior.
Absolutely. Celebrating those wins, no matter how small, creates a positive feedback loop that keeps us engaged and striving for more. It's about recognizing our progress and fueling our passion for continuous growth.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. We have explored OKRs from both a company and personal perspective, debunked some myths, and discovered practical ways to apply this powerful framework.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you and our listeners. I hope this deep dive has empowered everyone to set ambitious goals, create actionable plans, and ultimately achieve greater fulfillment in both their professional and personal lives.
So, deep divers, there you have it. OKRs are more than just corporate jargon. They are a versatile tool for achieving goals, big or small, and for crafting a more engaged and meaningful life. Remember, it's about progress, not perfection. Embrace the journey, celebrate your wins, and never stop striving for growth.
And keep in mind that every accomplishment, regardless of size, is a step forward on your unique path. Embrace the challenges, learn from your experiences, and never underestimate the power of setting clear objectives and pursuing them with passion and purpose.
We believe in you. Now go out there and make those goals happen.